Money and markets, of course, the top story being Europe. We now have a central banker running the Greek government. Lucas Papademos has several degrees from MIT, taught at Harvard, worked at the Federal Reserve Bank of Boston, was a governor of the Greek Central Bank, and in that context was instrumental in getting Greece into the euro in the first place. This is, if you will, the guy who caused the problem in the first place. It's a little bit like Obama bringing Summers and Geithner back to sort of solve the problem. Well, wait a minute, these are the guys who created the problem in the first place. If anything, he's being brought back to protect the French and German banks and the euro at the expense of the Greek people and sort of current contractual obligations, including retirement. And it fits with what I said before about the pattern of fraudulent inducement and reengineering. I don't think we're having a financial crisis. I don't think we're having a financial emergency. I think we're having a financial coup d'etat, and we're watching disaster capitalism come to Greece. However, that's not the opinion that most people had, because we saw a lot of terror in the retail investment community as the markets dropped this week. This kind of volatility we're going to keep continuing to see because of the uncertainty of the debt overhang and the squabbling in the politics and the program trading in the markets. The stock market is pumping and dumping within the channel. If you step back and see the primary trends, as I describe in the investment strategies for changing times, I think you see the deeper patterns and you know how to proceed. But it's very easy to get terrorized by the volatility and the headlines. And, of course, there are a lot of people in the blogosphere who are convinced that we're going to have a big collapse, of which I think the chances are reasonably small. Could we get another 2008 drop? Yes, it's more likely next year than this year. But can the system operate without it? Yes, that's also true. MF Global continues to be a very important story. October 25th, 8K, and 8K is the quarterly filing. I read the October 25th, 8K from MF Global, and everything is hunky-dory. On October 27th, the 8K mentioned their large European bond position, which is now being credited with destroying the firm. On October 27th, we see Italian securities drop in prices precipitously. And by November 10th, literally, MF Global, which has gone literally in 15 days from being a firm that's hunky-dory in its 8K to filing bankruptcy and now does not even answer the phone. It's pretty dazzling, but at the same time, it does look to me like a hit. There could have been several possibilities. One is Corzine in August was a name, John Corzine, the chairman, former chairman of Goldman Sachs, former governor of the state of New Jersey. His name was circulating for Secretary of the Treasury. It almost makes you wonder if a variety of people did not want John Corzine in that spot if Geithner leaves. The other thing, though, is we're watching a game of hot potatoes globally in the financial community. There's a lot of excess capacity in the financial community, and yet with the bailouts, we did not see that capacity cut back to something much more economic. And so the question is, you know, you have a herd of, if you will, 1,000 financial players. You only need 500, and so who's going to die? And so it's healthy to see firms go out of business. I suspect from watching the pattern, as the sovereign bond market runs into collateral problems, the question is who can you take out and subsidize the remaining players by playing dirty games with their portfolio or making money on their debt? So, you know, there's a story here, and as I said last week, we still don't know what it is, but I suspect it's an important story and it's an interesting story, but I don't think more firms going out of business in the financial sector is unhealthy. I think it's very healthy. It was reported that over 600,000 bank accounts moved on Move Your Money Day, and that's a big wow. That has a big impact. This is really the notion of shifting your deposits to banks that represent your best interests has really caught on, and it's caught on among lots of serious people who don't normally move to this kind of action, but it's very wonderful to see. And don't think that amount of money and that amount of accounts won't have a big impact in the boardrooms of America, including the big banks. Even more wonderfully, there are a lot of very honest and wonderful bankers. The more gas you put in their tank, the further and faster their car can go. So, you're putting money behind a lot of institutions that can make a big difference and do a lot of good. So good work on Move Your Money Day. If you haven't moved your bank account to a bank you really trust and are proud to be banking at and enjoy, you might want to check out our Bank Intimate section on the website. We have a great article, and we've posted it up on the blog, called How to Find a Good Local Bank. We see the firing of the president and football coach of Penn State, pedophilia activity by a former and alleged rape by a former assistant or number two coach. One of the things, I thought a lot about this, and thought, should I mention it to subscribers, because pedophilia is so important to the creation of control file and the sort of control system. It's much more important than people realize. In Pennsylvania, the management of the pedophilia networks were traditionally in the Mason Lodges in the Archdiocese. And what happened in the late 60s and 70s is the Masons at least started to move their a lot of their coordination and activities into the universities, because a lot of universities, and not necessarily Penn State, but have big money pots and endowments that are really private investment syndicates that sort of sheltered on a tax-sheltered basis. But those networks, I assume, moved into the universities with them, and so there may be a very important story here. Usually a guy like the, you know, deputy football coach is a handler, and so he takes the fall for a variety of things. And I wasn't going to say anything, but then John Rappaport wrote a piece about this, and I think it's a good piece. If you're more interested in these kinds of control systems, I'd recommend you take a look at the Franklin cover-up by John DeCamp. So again, like the MF Global situation, there's a story here, and it may be worth knowing. Let's see what comes out. There are two words you absolutely want to learn. I've mentioned them here before, but I want to underscore them. If you don't know these words, it's worth going to Wikipedia and really cluing into them. One is crowdfunding, and the other is transmedia. Crowdfunding is a way, both for-profit and not-for-profit, of financing with microloans and microequity. We see websites like Kickstarter starting to make it much easier for people to find support for their projects. Transmedia is a merging of multimedia into the pads and the handheld devices. Crowdfunding and transmedia are two phenomena occurring that's made possible by the move of lots of applications from the desktop to handheld devices. Now, these have the ability to potentially revolutionize both capital and media, and they're going to get a lot of top-down support. I noted, and it's up on the blog, this week the House repealed accredited investor rules in something called H.R. 2930, the Entrepreneur Access to Capital Act. Now, this is something we definitely needed in the 90s, so the fact that it's happening now is very interesting. Let me just read you the legislative summary. Entrepreneur Access to Capital amends the Securities Act of 1933 to exempt from the prohibitions against use of interstate commerce and the mails for sale or delivery after sale of unregistered securities, including unregistered security-based swaps, any transaction involving the issuance of crowdfunded securities for which the aggregate annual amount raised through such issuance is $5 million or less, and individual investments in the securities are limited to aggregate annual amount less equal to the lesser of 10,000 and 10% of the investor's annual income, and it goes on. What this could do is make micro equity flow both through internet. I mean, this could literally turn Facebook into a stock exchange, if you will. So a lot of interesting things could come out of this. And so I just, again, I underscore, hasn't passed the Senate yet, hasn't been approved by the administration, but if it does, we could see another, you know, the local version of an internet dot-com boom and even bust. The Kauffman Foundation, sort of aligned with this, published a new poll today. It's up on the blog. A survey of millennials, that's the generation from 18 to 34, more than half want to start their own economy, start their own business, but are held back by the economy. But that shows a lot of interest in entrepreneurship, and if you combine that with crowdfunding and with transmedia, a lot can happen. So that's it for Money and Market.